which is particularly endearing. It is Bhakta Sudit, or the well-wisher of his devotees. After we have discussed this quality of Lord Krishna, Bhurijan Prabhu will go with us into his Leela Kirtan, which have been very well appreciated, really now all over the world, we can say. It is a beautiful Krishna conscious experience to hear the chanting of the holy names together with meditating deeply about the pastimes of Lord Gauranga. So we will just see. She's just now coming. Yes. Welcome, Suchi Rani. Hare Krishna. This is our Suchi Rani Mataji. We feel very honored that you have decided to come and stay with us. Please let us greet Suchi Rani as well with a loving raised hands. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo!
Welcome to the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan and the association of devotees.
Srila Rupa Goswami defines that this quality, Bhakta Surita, or a friend of the devotees, has two aspects. The first aspect of Lord Krishna, who is a friend of the devotee, is that he is easily served. And the second aspect is that he is a very committed friend to anyone who is his servant. Let us please now go deeply into the first aspect of Bhakta Surita, a friend of the devotees. It is not difficult to serve Krishna. Just like a friend will not expect from another friend a very difficult display of his friendship, in the same way, Krishna does not expect his devotee to do something very difficult. In fact, Krishna is satisfied if one just offers him a leaf, the tulasi leaf, or a little water. There's a very famous verse which led to the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya wanted to make the Lord appear, and he thought, how can I make the Lord appear? Then he remembered a verse from the Vishnu and the Hanuman. The verse says, the lover of the devotees sells himself to the devotees for only a leaf of tulasi and a handful of water. This was enough for Advaita Acharya. He went to the banks of the river Ganga. He took a shila. We hear it was a shila of Narsingadev, a big Narsingadev shila. And he offered every day a handful of Ganga water and the sacred tulasi leaf, and then called for the Lord to come, and the Lord was accepting. I find that it is very important for us to meditate about this. We also have assembled here at the site of sacred Giriraj, and our service to Lord Krishna is a very simple one. We just have to bring our bodies and our minds and listen from morning till evening about Krishna, either his holy names, or we will listen with great relish to the different kathas, And that is accepted as service by Lord Krishna. You don't have to twist your neck or your arm or your legs. He is easily served. Another of the second aspect of Bhakta Suri, that Krishna is the friend of his devotees, is that he is a committed friend to anyone who is his service, who is his servant. You all know that Grandfather Bhishma was a devotee of Lord Krishna, but due to circumstances, he fought against the devotees of Lord Krishna and therefore also against Lord Krishna. However, when it came time for him to die, Krishna behaved very friendly because, you know, Bhishma is my servant. He visited Grandfather Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma was lying on a bed of arrows after he had been felled or cut down by Arjuna's powerful arrows, Krishna at that time moved over the battlefield. It was the evening hour. He came associated with Yudhishthira, Arjuna was there, and the other Pandava brothers, and a very good number of saints, and they came walking over the battlefields towards Bhishma. When Grandfather Bhishma saw Lord Krishna coming at the evening of his life to see him off, he was extremely moved. And he remembered a particular dear scene. I will quote this now from the Bhagavatam. He will remember how Krishna was kind to him on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna was not only kind in his the evening of his life, Krishna had shown Grandfather Bhishma other kindnesses, and the greatest kindness you can show a warrior, a kshatriya, a fighter, is to fight with him. So Bhishma says, fulfilling my desire to make him fight and sacrificing his own promise to not take up any weapons, he got down from the chariot, took up its wheel, and ran toward me in a hurry, just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. He even dropped his outer garment on the way. The Sanskrit word chaladgu means that Krishna made the earth tremble when he approached. He was, in other words, taking fighting very serious. He was, Srila Prabhupada comments this beautiful scene. The dealings of Lord Krishna and Bhishma Dev on the battlefield of Kurukshetra are interesting because the activities of Lord Sri Krishna appear to be partial to Arjuna and at enmity with Bhishma Dev. But factually, all this was especially meant to show special favor to Bhishma Dev, a great devotee of the Lord. The astounding feature of such dealings is that a devotee can please the Lord by playing the part of an enemy. The Lord, being absolute, can accept service from his pure devotee, even in the garb of an enemy. So after having done Grandfather Bhishma this favor, that he broke his promise to not fight on either of the two sides, and he fought with Grandfather Bhishma, Krishna thought it was appropriate to show this favor in the evening of the life, to appear before Grandfather Bhishma. grandfather was lying there. He was hit by the arrows of Arjuna, and his blood was leaving him. And he said, Grandfather Bhishma, that you have come at this stage of my life shows how committed a friend you are to your devotees. You can be rest assured that Lord Krishna will display these two qualities even in relationship to you. One is that Lord Krishna is very easily served. It is not difficult. And the second quality is that he is a committed friend. He will not let you down. He won't forget you. In fact, he will come. And even if the evening of your life approaches, it is Lord Krishna's promise to take the soul back home, back to Godhead, and in this way take care of his devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita he says he becomes the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. This is the first quality which we have discussed. It is quality 36 called Bhakta Surit. And with this the light goes on.
This topic has actually generated light.
This topic has generated light, yes. I think it's so nice, my dear devotees, just serve Krishna. Give your heart to Krishna. Don't hold back. Do your best. Don't be mental. Will it be good enough? Will my service be as good as so-and-so's service? Krishna is easily served. Even a little water and a tulsi leaf. And he will be, in German we will say, er steht zu dir. He stands by your side. He doesn't leave you. This was my first quality of Lord Krishna. You all look at me, I've come to the conclusion of this quality. But to the beginning of the evening, we will now very happily move the microphone over to our Burijan Prabhu, who will give us an introduction about the scene he's going to read from. Shri Radha Ramana, you look like Kadambakanana Maharaj. For a moment I was in a loop about but welcome. When you are blissfully smiling like this, for sure. Yes. Welcome. Please come sit with us. May I just ask you, last year we thought the generator is Grandfather Bhishma. He wanted Grandfather Bhishma to preach to Yudhishthira to take on the role of the throne. Yudhishthira was so disappointed and so finished really after the battle of Kurukshetra that not even the Lord Krishna himself could convince him to rise upon the blood-stenched throne, which was won after a lot of fighting. Yudhishthira felt himself guilty. Oh, that I could become the king. So many a good-hearted warrior's head to die, and he was so despondent that he could not imagine to take on the throne. Although my worldly father is not nearly as talented as exalted as Yudhishthira, also my father, being a German and being in the front of the fight of the Germans against the rest of the world in the Second World War, was not actually able to. He felt so guilty, he couldn't do anything, and he certainly also didn't want to make a family. He just wanted to die, only because maybe Krishna inspired him. He could continue. Yudhishthira felt hundreds and thousands of times more guilty than any man who has committed violence. He felt incapable. So Krishna brought him to Bhishma, and Bhishma and asked Bhishma to convince Yudhishthira to ascend the throne. Now, Krishna did this to glorify the power of great grandfather Bhishma. Although Bhishma had fought against the Pandavas, Krishna wanted him to go in the right light. He didn't want to leave it like this. He wanted to make him glorious as the advisor of Yudhishthira. Grandfather Bhishma, understanding the plan of the Lord, began to speak. But as he was speaking, someone was laughing hysterically. "See this fool!" Everyone looked around, and there was Draupadi. "When I was stripped naked, Grandfather Bhishma, who was supposed to guard Dharma, did not do anything. And now he dares to speak on Dharma to Dharmaraj, Yudhishthira. This is the highest of hypocrisy." Great father, great grandfather Bhishma answered, "Draupadi, when I was eating the food of Duryodhana, my blood was contaminated. But now where Arjuna's arrows have pierced me, all this contaminated blood has left me, and now I can speak on Dharma." There is also an esoteric meaning. The esoteric meaning is that the arrows of Arjuna were the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. I want to say this on the first day. Anyone who hears about the qualities of Lord Krishna, his material contamination will leave him, and he becomes qualified to preach, to teach, and to become Krishna conscious. This is the benefit of hearing about the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna. So, yes. I want to tell you, we will hear about many of the 64 qualities during this wonderful Govardhan retreat. Please listen as much as possible, and know that this listening is a therapeutic listening. You will be purified. It's highly therapeutic. Therapeutic? Therapeutic.
Therapeutic.
Therapeutic even. Yes. And it will help all of us. So, now we have said enough. Vrijamparu, please kidnap us and bring us to the wonderful Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will sit now there because I need to see you and sing. Yes? Krishna Govinda, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Gopala Nanda Lal, Krishna Govinda, Govinda, Jai Gopala Nanda Lal. Yeah. Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala Gopal Nandala Gopal Nandala Shubhar Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala Krishna Govinda Govinda Gopala Nandala Gopal Nandala Gopal Nandala Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Girira. Jaya
Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Inda Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Inda Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Radhe Shyam Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
So, Hare Krishna, I would like to welcome all of you who have come from near and far to attend this seminar called The Qualities of Shri Krishna. Srila Rupa Goswami has provided us with a list of 64 qualities. But he has also mentioned that it is not possible to really count all the qualities of Lord Krishna. Even Krishna himself is not able to understand his the amount of his qualities. Because they always increase during his loving pastimes. Lord Brahma, he talks a little bit about the qualities of Lord Krishna, and it is very interesting to hear the commentaries of our Goswamis and Acharyas on this glorification of Lord Brahma. He says, Gunatmanastepi gunan vimatam hitavatyanasya kaishiresya kalena yeva vimita sukaoper bhupangshavake mihika dyubasa. In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and other luminaries. But among these learned men who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities. Lord Shri Krishna, says Sanatana Goswami, possesses all the divine godly qualities. And anyone who comes in contact with Lord Krishna is becoming inspired to develop also divine qualities.
In fact, Krishna bestows 50 of his 64 qualities on the living entity who hears about Lord Krishna and increases these qualities so that it's easy for the living entity to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, why does Krishna have so many innumerable qualities? If this question is asked in the transcendental dimension, the answer is because he is unlimitedly beautiful and has unlimited pastimes, and for pastimes' sake, he always increases his qualities. If this question, why does Krishna have such unlimited qualities, is asked from the perspective of us, there is another reason. Because we have so many qualities ourselves, we will become attracted to Lord Krishna if we see in him some of the qualities. For instance, a scholar is inspired when he hears that Krishna sees through the eyes of Shastra. A strong man is inspired to hear that Krishna is Balyan, the most strongest, who lifted the Govardhan hill for 7 days without previous practice of weight lifting. Prabhupada makes this point. A person who is generous and likes to give in charity becomes totally inspired to hear how Lord Krishna every day used to give 402 million cows in charities. Every day, 402 million cows. So all the living entities, according to their own specific situation, become inspired by certain qualities of Lord Krishna. In Germany, when we were very immature and young, we divided all the bhaktas into two categories. One was the Nishinga bhaktas, these were the Sankirtan men, and the others were the gentle Govinda bhaktas, these were the translators, and so on. Because we could... I was in the Govinda bhakta category. At that time, the German nature was a little strong and maybe exuberant, and sometimes it would manifest in wild dancing and wild activities. So they felt inspired by Lord Nrisimhadev. Wow, he is our God. And the others who thought themselves to be literally interested and music lovers, they were the Govinda bhaktas. So Krishna does this on purpose. He exhibits different pastimes, different to make sure that every conditioned soul is attracted, and no one can escape his quality of being Krishna, all attractive. In this verse, we see a progression. It is said, even if someone might count the molecules in earth, snow and light, he will not be able to count Krishna's qualities. Earth is quite gross in the sense that you can easily see it and touch it. I mean, the earth of Vrindavan is not gross. It is very, it is Chintamani, but normal earth. Snow is a little bit more subtle, more windy and airy. And light is progressively more subtle. Thus it is understood that it is virtually impossible to go, as you go deeper into Krishna and into the more subtle aspects of Lord Krishna, it becomes increasingly difficult to keep count with Krishna's wonderful qualities. There are qualities in terms of Krishna's activities. There are qualities in terms of Krishna's heart. or words, I'm sorry, their qualities in terms of Krishna's body, in Krishna, in terms of Krishna's words, and there are qualities in terms of Krishna's thinking, his heart. And these are the most difficult to understand. And in my little introduction to the qualities of Krishna, I would like to venture, being a little daring in nature, into these qualities of Krishna's heart. I would like to dwell more time on these types of qualities of Krishna. Now, in this verse of Lord Brahma, it is described that no one, just as no one can count the molecules in earth, snow, and light, no one can count the qualities of Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur informs us that there is someone who has counted all the molecules of earth, snow, and light. But even this personality, although he has been trying to count Krishna's quality, failed on this task. The one who counted the qualities of earth, or the molecules in earth, snow, and light, is Ananta Shesha. But even Ananta Shesha, who is so intelligent that he can grasp the seemingly unlimited in his hand, he cannot count Krishna's glories, although since time immemorial he's in a serious and almost desperate attempt, involved in a serious attempt to do so. They are so unlimited that even the greatest counter has to show his defeat. Now, the most astonishing qualities which Lord Krishna exhibits are exhibited at a very specific time and place of his appearance. It's in Vrindavan Dham, where he steals butter from the cowherd ladies, dances with his gopi girlfriends, and plays with his cowherd boyfriends. On coming here, His Holiness Danada Maharaj has reminded me of how Krishna had expanded himself into as many cowherd boys as there were present during his time. Now, it is described that the count of Krishna's cowherd boys was virtually uncountable. There were oceans of cowherd friends. You must know that this is not a limited space, Vrindavan Dham. It is an unlimited space. So there are unlimited cowherd boys. And Lord, when the good number was stolen by Lord Brahma, Krishna easily expanded himself in all the cowherd boys. This is very unusual quality of Lord Krishna. Took on all the qualities of all these boys. There, he took on the exact smile of each boy, the wrinkles, the position, the nose, which is always different from person to person, the fingerprints, which is very, this is your unique passport, which cannot be copied, your fingerprint. He took on all these qualities. And it said, if pure devotees discuss the qualities of Lord Krishna, they are filled with life and they are filled with soul. Because these qualities, if we hear them patiently, something of them will color into our hearts. So I was thinking, when I was preparing for this seminar, should I go quality 1, quality 2, quality 3, quality 4, and so on. And I decided to not go in this way, because I would not arrive at the four most wonderful qualities of Lord Krishna, which are 61 to 64. I have just started to go, I have decided to go take you to, on a journey through some qualities which I thought were very specifically describing either Krishna's words or Krishna's wonderful body or Krishna's wonderful heart. And as I said in the beginning, I will have put more emphasis on Krishna's thinking, Krishna's heart. I thought I would go just through a little journey with you, and then in later times I would like to publish a book on this so that you can read more about Krishna's qualities and become more inspired. So we will start today with quality number 7. Vividad Bhuta Bhashavit. He is a wonderful linguist. Rupa Goswami describes what it means to know many languages, to be a wonderful linguist. I thought in the beginning, maybe I'm also a wonderful linguist because I know English a little bit. I know German much better. Ja, också tala svenska. I also speak Swedish if I want. I can speak a little Italian, bellissimo, and Serbian also a little bit, and I can speak the language of the ruffians, that is also known to me, but Rupa Goswami quickly comes and tells us what a wonderful linguist should know. He was skilled in Sanskrit, and then in the vernacular languages of various countries, is said to be conversant in many wonderful languages. You need to know Sanskrit, really. During Krishna's appearance, there was a wonderful, there was an old lady who had seen Lord Krishna conversing with the parrots, with the bulls and cows. And she had seen how Krishna received some demigods and talked with them in Sanskrit. And she had seen many things which Krishna did in language. And in great surprise, she stated, Shori, or Krishna, speaks Shori Seni to the women of Braj. He speaks the divine language Sanskrit to Indra, and the crude form of language even to the cows and bird. How did he become so skilled in all these languages? I cannot understand. How did he learn all this so perfectly? A very good example of Krishna speaking in Sanskrit is his Gita. Krishna has spoken in the Gita such deep knowledge that even the world today is very impressed by the Gita. And I do not know if you know, but even the non-devotees have put the Gita into the category of world literature. World literature is also the Odyssey by Homer, for instance, or some works of Mr. Joyce. I believe it's called Ulysses. It's world literature, it's a high class literature in the eyes of the world. So his Gita is very, very is read all over the world. Prabhupada said, I believe it's translated in something like 730 editions of the Gita. Different editions are available. You can, if you go to Udupi, you see that Madhvacharya has, the Madhvacharya Mat, the Udupi Mat, has made a Gita temple where all the different Gitas of the, in the world's editions are available. Also, many ISKCON Bhagavad Gitas are there. We placed the German Gita into this library, and so on. Krishna's speaking can sometimes be very intense. Today, Burijan Prabhu reminded us of Lord Varaha. Do you know when Varaha spoke? It was very intense. It said, when the Lord assumed the form of Varaha, he roared like a great mountain with his uncommon voice which echoed all over the universe. Krishna is not a light speaker, but a heavy speaker. Wow! And the sadhus were jumping up in ecstasy on the planet, greeting Lord with the Lord Varaha with choice Vedic hymns. Lord Krishna sometimes speaks in a way which is very easy to follow. For instance, when he says, he who protects Dharma is protected by Dharma. Who knows the Sanskrit of this famous verse, Adi Purusha? Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. This is something you can live your life by. If you protect Dharma in your life, that is, if you are truthful, if you are compassionate to others, this is what a Dharmic person must learn. Dharma will come and run to your aid and protect you. This is something very, that Krishna speaks something very profound in very simple words. But he also can speak very, very, very high, on very high levels of understandings which are difficult to understand. Here's an example from the third canto of Bhagavatam. He spoke to the four Kumaras, most probably the most intelligent beings in this universe. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import. It had such deep meanings and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Krishna is on a very, very, very high level, so that even the of speech, so that even the most intelligent jnanis are failing to really follow. I can't follow any longer, they have to say. One devotee told me that one of Krishna's pure devotees, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, used to also speak in a very difficult language. There is somewhere, and maybe the nectar hunters amongst you will now put their ears up, there's somewhere a gramophone record of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur speaking. There was a recording, and it said it's so difficult even for a scholar to follow. So Krishna is a supreme intelligent speaker. That doesn't keep him from talking also to the plants. Krishna can talk to the plants of Vrindavan, and he does so. He talks often to the plants of Vrindavan. There is in Govinda Lilamrita a very nice description how Krishna walks through his beloved playground, the forest of Vrindavan, and how his attention becomes focused on different plants, forest dwellers. And he is so happy to see how all these plants love him so much and bent down low to offer their fruits to Lord Krishna, that Krishna happily says, "Oh dear forest creepers, are you also happy? Oh my friends, the trees, Is everything auspicious for you? It must be difficult to speak in the tree language. Maybe Lord Krishna says, shh, because this is maybe the language of the tree. I just come from a retreat at the Mediterranean Ocean, and there the trees speak differently. They go like, it's when the wind comes and they rub against each other, and when you live there, you feel, oh no, a ghost is coming. But it's only the trees speaking, and you feel inspired to also go, this is the language of the Mediterranean trees, but I don't think such language would be the Vrindavan trees. But Krishna asked them a very relevant question. Is everything auspicious for you? This means, do great devotees sit in your shade, my dear trees? What is your report? Please say. And then he turns to the insects. The mosquitoes usually go, we only know the mosquito language. Western blood. Sweet blood. But these are different insects. They're like Indragopas, or sometimes they color the ground of Vrindavan. There are insects which make a colorful carpet on Vrindavan's ground. Krishna asked them a very relevant question, because insects are always afraid of attackers. So he asked them, oh dear insects, is everything peaceful for you? How are you doing, birds? Oh bees, you appear healthy. Oh all moving and non-moving creatures, are you all joyful? This is what Krishna says. The way Krishna speaks to his cows, he has two ways of addressing the cows. This is my speculation, don't note it down. He has at least more than two ways of addressing the cows. One is, he calls them by names. He may say, Davali, Chandani, Rangini, Hansi, Chamari. These are cow names. He has also a bull which he calls Padmaganda, O lotus smelling one. These bulls move like satisfied sannyasis around in Vrindavan. He has also one dog, Vyagraha. He also knows how to speak with a dog very nice. Shubhal is looking at me, can this be true, dog? Yes. Radha Krishna Ganapesha Divika. This is there. So, but to his cows he has two languages. He calls them and communicates, but he also plays his flute. And by his flute song, he calls the cows individually and differently. And he does it through the flute. This is Krishna's way of calling his cows. One night, Krishna wanted to make come to Srimati Radharani and meet her, and there he used his skill to speak like a cuckoo. He climbed over the wall of the big house of Yatila and hid behind a tree and began to call in the voice of the cuckoo, 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 for Srimati Radharani, who wanted to come. But this Yatila, this very, very disturbing being, understood that the cuckoo sound had an additional sweetness to it. And therefore, she felt highly suspicious. She went out of the kitchen to look in the court. Where is this cuckoo? So Krishna had to stay in the tree. And because he was careful, he did not cuckoo again. So Yatila went again in the house. And again Krishna went, cuckoo, cuckoo. Radharani knew it is my Krishna. But Jatila again came out. Shoo! Who's here? Krishna had to hide himself for the whole night into the tree without being able to meet Radharani. This tells us that Krishna's language is even sweeter than the original species in which language he speaks. This is some secret which we have learned from this pastime. He adds an additional sweetness because otherwise Jatila would have been deceived very easily. It is said, I live at the house of Nitai Chand, who speaks Bengali, which is very sugar-like sweet. When he speaks any other language, for instance Gujarati, he also speaks the language a little bit sweeter than it is originally spoken. So Lord Krishna has this sweetening everything in a huge proportion. Now, as we hear about Krishna's wonderful linguist quality, there is one quality in Krishna's language treasury house which I find especially important for my spiritual understanding. Krishna can also speak the language which the conditioned soul understands. Krishna speak a language to you. That doesn't necessarily only mean speak German, African, or American slang to you. Krishna can speak in a way you can understand him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buryogam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is a very important quality, let me say, reading of this quality of Krishna, that he is a wonderful linguist. He can speak to us. He can use a language which we also understand. I do not know how you are, but very often Krishna speaks the language of the club. Peng! You repeatedly do a mistake. Peng! And Krishna arranges things in your life that you know, oh, I did something wrong here. I'm sorry, I think I have to correct my ways. This is one way Krishna speaks to us here, by arranging our life circumstances as the overseer of this material energy. Maya Dyakshena Prakriti. The Prakriti moves according to Krishna's supervision. But he can also speak to you by giving you realizations in your heart. And this is a very, very wonderful language of Lord Krishna, in which he from the heart makes it very clear for your understanding what are your next maneuvers. I really feel it is important for us to listen to the Lord in the heart, who gives speaks to us by realizations and by certain understandings which he gives us. Let us not ignore it. I want to use now one example by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which will make you smile. It's an example that it becomes clear how on a very high level of Krishna consciousness, Krishna will speak to his devotee in the heart. Don't be shocked, it will be narrated to you in a dramatic way. Just capture your seat so that you are not blown away. Oh! The thief Krishna, the son of Yashoda, has entered the house to steal the fresh butter. Grab him! them away! Hearing these menacing words spoken by the elderly gopi Jarati, Krishna immediately prepares to leave the house. The devotee, to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed, laughs in ecstasy. You know, Krishna has just stolen butter, and this Jarati comes and catches him by surprise. One says in flagranti means while in the wrong act, and Krishna is very shy, it drops everything and starts to run away. So the devotee to whom this transcendental pastime is revealed in the heart laughs in ecstasy, but suddenly he can no longer see Krishna. He then cries in great lamentation, "Oh, I achieved the greatest fortune in the world, and now it has suddenly slipped from my hands." And then the devotees cries more loud, "Oh my Lord, where are you? Give me your answer." So now the Lord, the most wonderful linguist, speaks. "My dear devotee, I heard your loud complaint, and so I have again come before you." Upon seeing Lord Krishna again, the devotee begins to sing, "Today my life has become perfect." Thus overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, he begins to dance like a madman. Hare Krishna. This is an example how Krishna speaks to a devotee on a very high level of Krishna consciousness. Krishna can also speak to us. It is said a devotee who wishes to hear Lord Krishna in his life should become expert in one little quality which can be trained. You can train this quality. It is called in Sanskrit Shastra Shakshu, to see through the eyes of scripture. To see means also to understand. If you read regularly, and then as you what you have read, you should apply this to understand your world around you, and you will see how all of a sudden the scripture comes to life, and you feel like, wow, it's really like this, it's really like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, wonderful. And at that time, when the scripture begins to come alive for you, since you apply the teachings of the scripture, you will also begin to dance in ecstasy. It is said by Jiva Goswami that the scriptures are Krishna's way to train our intelligence so that it moves in the proper way. Just like a snake charmer will sing a beautiful, fascinating tune. I have learned the tune by heart. Should I sing the snake charming tune? Now it says, and so on. It's a little boring for a music lover in the human form of life. So, but the snake, when it hears this enchanting melody, which is quite mesmerizing, begins to move. In the same way, the intelligence of a devotee should begin to move by the words from Shastra. This is how Krishna speaks to us. Many devotees have made this experience that when they are in a problematic situation of their life, they read in Transcendental Shastra. And as they read in the Transcendental Shastra, at that time, answers are given to them. And I'm very, very glad that our Bhujan Prabhu is always guiding us in our seminars, because he really has made this a service in his life to read Prabhupada's books, to extract things which are instructions for us. And if you learn this little art to hear what Krishna has to tell to you, then you will, from the Shastras, you will become wonderful, inspired. Hare Krishna, this was the quality of Lord Krishna as the wonderful linguist. I would like to summarize what we have heard. First of all, Krishna speaks different languages, including Sanskrit and Brajabhas, but also the languages of different tribes, like the Englishmen or whatever tribes are there, vernacular language. And I wanted to speak a little on, give examples of Krishna's speech, on different levels. And I wanted to end that Krishna speaks also in a language which is understandable to us, either by speaking in the heart as the Lord who reveals transcendental knowledge and transcendental understandings, or by speaking through the Shastras through us. Now we come to the 17th quality. Krishna is Kritagya. Kritagya means grateful. Srila Rupa Goswami describes gratefulness like this: he who is mindful of services rendered is grateful. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains what it means to be mindful of services rendered by others. He says, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. Rupa Goswami gives an example from the Mahabharata. There was a situation where Draupadi was in great danger of being discovered or uncovered by the rascals. And she cried for Krishna's help during that time. And Krishna, he later says, remembering how Draupadi turned to him and called out his name, Lord Krishna remembers this, and with great gratitude to his dear devotee, he says these words: when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, "Hey Govinda!" Oh, she said it much louder. I will say it for you, and then you can say it after me. Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
This call for me has put me in her debt. And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. Prabhupada, he said very nice, this statement by Krishna gives evidence of how one can please the Supreme Lord simply by addressing him, "Hey Krishna!
Hey Krishna!
Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!"
Another example is when Lord Krishna entered the cave of Jambavan to bring back the Syamantaka jewel which Jambavan had stolen by killing the son of Satrajit. He just killed him and taken the jewel. And Krishna, as a beloved prince of Dwaraka, was suspected of having killed Satrajit and having keeping the Syamantaka jewel somewhere. So Lord Krishna went to Jambavan and fought with him for 24 days. Jambavan, the best of the bears, attacked the Lord's delicate body, which is so delicate, we hear, that if a leaf falls on the body of the Lord, the skin will slightly become discolored, noting the leaf. So, although Jambavan actually was quite offensive, offenses are done in mind, then it goes heavier in words, and then in actions. Actions means you attack the other person. That's really the highest of offense. Krishna remembered how Jambavan, millions of years ago, had helped him in a very important mission to bring back his wife Sita. At that time, Krishna was present at this earth as Lord Ramachandra. And Jambavan had helped in the espionage to find where is Mother Sita. And had also fought with demon army, which was equipped with modern warfare instruments. And he had risked his life and so and had given good counsel and so on. So although Jambavan now had done a serious mistake fighting with him and attacking him, Krishna remembered, way back, he was serving me. This is how grateful Krishna was. And Krishna then was so respectful to Jambavan that he married Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan. The Damodar month has just passed. Do you know one reason why Krishna fed butter to the celebrated monkeys of Vrindavan? Adi Purusha? Yes, he remembered. These monkeys, they are the same monkeys who served me when I came as Ramachandra. Sometimes they had to fast. It's described in Ramayana. Now they should get butter. And in this way, he was mindful of the service of the monkeys. I think this is extremely significant, because it makes the heart very happy if we understand how grateful Lord Krishna is for every little service which is rendered by his devotees. Like Prabhupada says, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities, he has done something beneficial for me, and never forgets his service, such a person is called grateful. And Prabhupada immediately brings this quality of Krishna, being grateful, into direct connection with our daily practice of chanting. He says how Krishna never forgets a person who has chanted his glories. This is devotional service, to chant. Huh? When we chant, we serve Lord Krishna by the Shravanam and Kirtanam. Prabhupada says, the Maha Mantra is simply an address to the Lord and His energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and His energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse. The verse is where Krishna says, this call of Draupadi for me has put me in her debt. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. When you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sometimes it's almost a joke because we are so highly inattentive while we chant. But when we sincerely try to just keep on chanting, Krishna is grateful. This person has glorified me. My dear devotees, I think we should take every morning a shower in the lake of gratefulness. Queen Kunti once described that you can measure a person's greatness in different ways. For instance, you can measure how rich is this person, or how nice can he sing, or how fast can he make the Govardhan Parikrama. Now, there are different measurements. But Queen Kunti has one measurement in mind. She says, a person's greatness can be measured by the degree of his gratefulness. Krishna has given us so many things in our lives, and it behooves us to always remember in a deep state of gratefulness, "Oh Krishna, he has given such wonderful things to me." I would like to tell you the story of the talented crow. Once there was a virtuous Vaishya merchant who lived at the bank of an ocean, and he was blessed by the king to receive many benefits, and he was very, very rich. His sons ate nice cake soaked in milk and food eaten and cooked with ghee, and they were compassionate and gave the remnants to a crow. This crow ate every day the wealthy son's remnants and became very energetic and strong. One day it happened that a group of swans who came from Manasa Sarova, that is near Mountain Kailash, rested on the bank of the ocean before continuing their flight. And the crow, who had become extremely energetic and had forgotten that he was only grown on the foot of the merchants, very boldly said, "My dear swans, I challenge you for a flying competition. I can fly in 100 creative ways. I can fly a looping, then I can fly by swiftly turning left and right, I can fly very quickly down and then up, and I can also sometimes fly backwards. How can you fly?" The swans laughed and said, "We can fly very swiftly in a straightforward manner. That's good enough. Don't challenge us, crow. You are only a crow." People of this world say that in speed and in range, we can only be compared to Garuda. But the crow, becoming very bold and arrogant, began to fly in hundreds of ways, and when the other crows saw the creative flying of their brother crow, they banked their wings together and said, "You have practically won the competition. You have practically won the competition, brother." Then the swan said, "Hare Krishna," and they took off and began to fly very swiftly. And the crow, wanting to compete, said, oh, just wait, I'm coming also very swiftly." And it went towards the over the ocean. So after some time, the crow flying over the ocean was becoming discouraged. There was no land in sight, and by this discouragement, the crow lost his energy and soon began to touch the crests of the waves. So the swans looked like that. Is this one of your 101 ways to fly? But by now the crow was in serious difficulty. It fell into the ocean and became all wet and could not fly any longer. So then the king of the swans made one round. I think it took him 1 kilometer. And took up the poor crow, put him on the back, and flew him back to the bank of the ocean and said, "My dear crow, never forget, you are a crow. You only have been given nice cake soaked in milk and food in ghee. Please remember to be a little grateful and a little humble." And saying these wise words, the king of the swans, flew back to Manasarova, the lake where the heavenly beings swim. I'm telling this story for your kind introspection and consideration. Krishna is grateful because he is mindful of the services rendered by others. In Krishna consciousness, we should bathe regularly in this embellishing waters of gratefulness. That will make our character good. It will protect us against pride, this dangerous enemy on the spiritual path. To take a bath in gratefulness every morning will keep you humble and it will keep you connected. Oh my Lord, you have brought me to Vrindavan. Oh Giriraj, you have taken me on your lap. Oh, I am allowed to eat prasadam. Oh, I can hear some Leela Katha about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Be grateful. At that moment, your heart will melt and will become suitable for proper bhakti. Hare Krishna. Let us summarize. Krishna is kritagya, or grateful. It means he is mindful of the services rendered by his devotees. And there are two examples. One is the chanting of the devotees, like Draupadi, who chanted, "Hey Govinda!" And the other example is Jambavan, who had served the Lord in a previous existence, a previous yuga. I mean, Jambavan was still the same, but millions of lives back, and Krishna remembered this. Hare Krishna. So now we come to the last quality for today. May I know, do we end at 5 o'clock or 5:30? Oh, we have still some time. Oh yeah, this is a good thing. Do you have any questions regarding these qualities? It's nice to hear about Krishna, no? It's at least nice to speak about Krishna like this. Prabhuji, please identify your name. Kirti Raj. Oh, you have come. Kirti Raj. You have come to the right spot. Yes, Kirti Raj Prabhu. Devaraj Prabhu, I will repeat this for the tape listening posterity. Ask, how do you see this quality of being grateful in relationship to devotees who have rendered services in the past but have fallen away from that service, from devotional service? The way I have understood this is that Srila Prabhupada remains eternally indebted to these devotees who have rendered service to his mission. And apparently Srila Prabhupada, I know he always remembered the services of devotees even when they had fallen away. There's a nice letter which he wrote to Hayagriva. I remember how you whistled the trumpet, Prabhupada said, how you whistled the trumpet in the beginning of the movement. There's also a very esoteric statement about Srila Prabhupada, which those of you who like mystical things will appreciate. Once Prabhupada gave his dhoti to a devotee who was always coming and doing nice service but who never wanted to surrender and follow principles. And Prabhupada then, as a gesture to bring him into the movement and bring him to surrender, gave him this dhoti as a sign, now this is your new identity, Hare Krishna service rendering. A devotee who renders practical service. This devotee shrinked away, knowing that this gesture meant full surrender. And Prabhupada said, since the last 700 births, I'm trying to make you a devotee. Very grateful. I remember another incident, because we are at a very transcendental place, and these will be now a little, Prabhupada stories a little bit out of the mainstream. In Los Angeles, Prabhupada was regularly making his morning walk, and over a series of days, there was always a cat who came from somewhere behind the bushes and went before Prabhupada's feet and played around the feet. Meow, meow. Prabhupada would always, at the end of his little communication with the cat, take his foot, chip, and the cat would happily hang like this in the U position, which cats take in this situation. And Prabhupada would just crane the cat to the side. And then one day, after the devotees tried many things to be aware that this moochie cat would not disturb Prabhupada and try to get him, but he had his way to find his way to Prabhupada's lotus feet. And then one day the cat was lying lifeless on the sideboard. A car had driven across the cat and killed the cat. So the devotees wondered at that time if this cat was a special cat, and they asked Prabhupada about it, and Prabhupada was shy to answer. But one devotee who told me this, I believe his name was Dira Govinda. He could sing very nicely with Riksha Raj, he said. He told me that he went into Prabhupada's room and asked him, Prabhupada, the human mind is curious by nature, what's some special story about this cat? And Prabhupada said, very shyly, he was a fallen disciple who came to get the mercy of my lotus feet. So I know from many stories, I've told you now two esoteric stories, but from other stories, the Prabhupada would always receive his old servants in a very grateful way for services rendered. I'm looking to our Malati. This sounds like Prabhupada? Yes. Prabhupada would be very, very grateful. And I really think we should extend this gratefulness as well. I met Hari Kesh on the Ratha Yatra in New York. And it was a difficult moment in my life because we had done a lot of service. We had gone through heaven and hell together in service. I mean, we had run away from police people. We had exchanged our wigs. This fits better to you, you know, to go into action, preaching action. And I saw him and he had said so many things which were not appropriate with the standards of Krishna consciousness, and so on. It is a difficult thing. My feeling is always, we should be grateful you did such nice service, and so on. But we should also know that now there may be some covering. Sometimes, in some older devotees there are, another example, Hansadura. We were also quite close and near and close to each other, and so we may not identify with the covering of the which has momentarily covered the devotees, but we should be grateful for the services rendered. This is Prabhupada's mood, I believe. It's sometimes difficult to be grateful. Oh, you did so much, and then have the realistic picture. Yeah. Oh, and Prabhuji, now you act in ways which is different. That how to bring this over respectfully and consistently, it depends on your very fine feelings and subtle ways of expression. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Raj Bihari Prabhu. Yeah. Yes. It is said that the living entity can develop 50 qualities of the 64 qualities. I will read to you the 51st quality. Changeless. Sara Swarupa Samprapta. Or cognizant. You can never develop this Braj Bihari. Also not ever fresh. I'm sorry, I don't... No, please don't... please laugh in a gentle way, and not in a condescending way. Nitya Nutana. And Sachit Ananda Vigraha is another quality of Lord Krishna. But we can develop things like respectful, gentle, liberal, shy, happy, there's one quality very attractive to all women that we can never and should never. There are qualities of beautiful bodily features. It is not, that's the first quality. But there are many qualities which, for instance, Satyavakya, truthful, and Priyamvada, pleasing talker, which the devotee, in fact, should develop. Sanatana Goswami describes this instruction to develop qualities. He says, Lord Krishna is Gunatma, the soul of all superior qualities, because he gives them life. Descending to the material world and re-establishing religious principles, he exhibits all godly qualities and inspires them in others. Lord Krishna, in other words, wishes to inspire by his exhibition of qualities, certain qualities in the conditioned living entities. If a living entity develops the transcendental qualities found in the Lord, he receives immeasurable benefit and eventually goes with the Lord back to his own abode. So, it is desired. There are 50 qualities which the living entity can develop in minute quantity, never in, and there may be some qualities which a devotee does not aspire to develop, and that is easy to see. The Bhagavatam describes that these qualities come more or less searching for a devotee who is engaged in devotional service. Yasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinshana Sa please, yes, here are Saver. Yes. Mahatguna Mano Ratinat Mani. I'm so excited that I don't shirk. My Sanskrit, remember, it's not good in this verse and in others also not at the moment. Yes, so they will come by devotional, I feel our Braj Bihari has brought us to consider a very important point. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna describes a list of qualities which he considered belong to the godly nature, and it is desired to develop them, to be developed. Yes, Aniruddha Prabhu.